and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk Sox and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
All right, we're both here. The Iron Horse over here has been here every Saturday since the new year started.
That's right, baby.
I had to miss last week. What can I say?
But you said you landed in time. Were you on a red eye?
I was, yeah. I actually moved my flight up a day. Oh, wow. I was supposed to originally be on the Saturday night red eye back. I had just had too much Phoenix. There was, I got run roughshod by a big throbbing Phoenix, and I said, I got to get out of here. So I did. And so, yes, technically, I could have done the show last week, but, you know, I had to sleep for like 19 hours.
Dude, don't worry. I've only done this show like once or twice off a red eye, and it's miserable.
Oh, miserable. I couldn't even imagine.
Yeah, I've done it like maybe twice, so I don't fault you at all for that. What'd you fly back? Were you just like coach or?
So, you know, it's funny. I was originally supposed to be first class Delta, but because I decided I got to get the hell out of this place, you know, I would have had to pay real extra to get first class on the flight that I changed to. So the best I could do was Comfort Plus. So I was slumming it in Comfort Plus. yeah, poor me. I know. But hey, we're here today. And, you know, I think it'll be kind of a hodgepodge here this hour, the final hour. Yeah. Celtics at noon. You know, whatever anyone would really like to touch on. I know you have some Red Sox thoughts.
Definitely have some Red Sox thoughts.
A lot of people think it's going to be like 2013 all over again.
Yeah. Enough with the forced fake positivity. Yeah, it's already in the way.
That's a great way to put it. Forced fake positivity. Like, you want to go full Roachy, that's fine. Like, that's his shtick. I get it when it's like Dan Roach wants to feel that way. But, like, I don't know, normal Joe Blow Red Sox fan? Yeah, I'm sorry. You don't get to be positive about this team this year. you just don't. Until they prove you otherwise. Let's see what else you want to maybe even touch on the grievance grifters that are all mad at Tiger Woods for having a joke between him and a pal. And
I'll leave that one to you. I think I'm going to steer clear of that.
That's fair. what else? Well, I mean, you know, any leftover Super Bowl thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that ties into how we feel about Bill Belichick, and I think there's a difference of opinion there. I think we both agree the Super Bowl didn't reflect well on him at all. I wrote a column saying it was the end of his horrible, terrible, very good, very bad, no good year was that Super Bowl. And I agree with that, but I don't know. I think the old Felger and Maz show, as they're wont to do, which you're a part of from 2 to 6, I think they've taken the Belichick and decline thing too far, even for yours truly.
Yeah. You know, like, I think it's, we'd rather have like one of these offensive minded coaches. So we can touch on that. And of course the hold that made, I think at least this region real mad because I wasn't rooting against the Chiefs. Yeah, you were.
Oh, totally. Like,
you were rooting against the Chiefs because you're mad that now they're the new dynasty. And I get, look, I understand why you would be upset by that because it's just happened so quickly. I think that's what's really drawn the ire of a lot of Patriots fans around here. Like, you're anointing them too fast. Like, yeah, because it's happened too fast.
Yeah.
Those 2 decades that the Patriots had were awesome. I enjoyed it.
Oh, incredible.
Incredible. It was the best. But once that ended, That door slammed shut, and usually there's the gap. You know, I think Felger pointed this out, too. This is the problem. You know, you had the gap. You know, if you were a Niners fan, there was a gap. If you were a Steelers fan, there was a gap before the Niners really started to win, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even the Dallas thing, the early 90s, there was a gap before the Patriots started winning. The Patriots, this thing ends, and, like, boom, the Chiefs are right there,
in your face. Well, and the part about it, too, and like, the Chiefs aren't anywhere near the Patriots yet, and I feel like, and I wrote this, too, the real test is going to be when some of these guys the Chiefs have around Reed and Mahomes are done. Like, if Travis Kelce retires or Chris Jones retires, how do you rebuild? But I think that, you know what's annoying, I think, for Patriots fans is that you thought your thing was, like, so magical and so unprecedented, and now you look at it and you're like, oh, wait, just give this guy the best quarterback of the generation. That's all it was.
Yeah, right.
It wasn't that complicated. And I think that frustrates them because what they're left with is the coach. And you realized, you know, it's kind of like the Trump voters. Like, oh, my God, I put all my faith in this guy. Now I have to sort of admit I was wrong. that this guy was was not what I thought he was. And you know, Belichick's obviously a great coach, no question about it, but I've said this many times on the show. It's not that he's not a great coach. He is. It's just that the impact of great coaching was so overstated here for two decades relative to the impact of having the greatest quarterback of all time. So now the Chiefs have somebody who's in the running for the greatest quarterback of all time. He has a long way to go. And all of a sudden it's like, well, oh man, all you hear is like I heard Cowherd talk about, oh, Andy Reid, that's the best second half, the best adjustments I've ever seen. Yeah, Andy Reid did a great job. But would anybody be saying that if Chad Henne or Alex Smith were his quarterback?
No.
Probably not.
No, it's a quarterback-driven league more than ever. And that brings us to this. So let's actually really start with this because this is starting to pick up some steam. It was repurposed by Dov Kleiman, however you pronounce it, covering NFL news and transactions on Twitter.
Can I just tell you, because this is from Burt Breer. Burt Breer is not a particular fan of this guy and thinks that this guy takes his stuff out of context.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, this was something that Burt did say on these very airwaves with Zolak and Bertrand, and that is the Patriots, according to Burt, may not see a massive gap between Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi, which, I don't know, eyeball test alone. Yes, thank you, Patriots, and Brain Trust, and Bill Belichick, and the coaching staff. I would tend to agree. In fact, I was suffering from Zappi fever, as were many around here, because it seemed to me that there was at least the one thing that was noticeable was the confidence in the pocket from Bailey Zappi. Yeah, a little bit undersized. Yes, in the second half of that Bears loss, getting a lot of balls knocked down to the line of scrimmage. But he seemed like the yes, sir, no, sir, whatever you need, I'll do it, coaches. Whereas Mac Jones, well, we all know how that turned out. And I get it. Like, he was dealt a bad hand having to deal with Matt Patricia, Joe Judge, and all of that this year, but I just think he handled himself poorly. He should have got over it, or at least, I don't know, buried the shovel mid-season and just trying to find a way to be more professional about it, and he was anything but. In fact, as the season went on, we all remember the histrionics, losing his mind, sure. All of that. A bad look.
Yeah.
So he also adds, and said, in case you missed this, that Bill Belichick did not appreciate how Mac handled things last year. I wonder what he's talking about. So he goes on to say that maybe... he says, I don't know how in love the Raiders are with Mac, but if you're talking about getting a first-round pick, I don't think that's happening. But internally, I don't know if there's this massive gap between Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi, and maybe that he could be moved this offseason. It goes on to say, I think there were certain things in the way that Mac handled his second year as a pro that Bill didn't appreciate. Look, is this still on the table this offseason, and should it be?
100%. I mean, this is sort of what I said to you guys a few weeks ago would be my plan if I were the Patriots. I would try and ship Mac Jones. Yes, the master plan. Ship Mac Jones to Vegas. Now, Burt is pretty plugged in there, so I guess you're not going to get number 7 for Mac. I was basing that on the idea of I thought maybe Vegas would like Mac more than Burt is saying they do. Burt's basically saying, I don't know how in love the Raiders are with Mac. Like, if you're talking about getting their first-round pick, I don't think that's happening. I was basing that on the Raiders being in love with Mac, but also just what the cost is to move up for these quarterbacks. Like, even ones who haven't played in the league, like what the 49ers gave up for Trey Lance, I didn't think one first-round pick would be that much for Mac. But let's say whatever. It's fallen. So you move Mac to the Raiders, and you sign Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, I think that's the plan. If you could get the Raiders have, I believe, the 38th pick in the draft, that's a second-round pick. If you could get 38 and another pick from them, let's say their third round pick, and you give up maybe Mac Jones and a fourth or Mac Jones and a third, the Patriots have 76, the Raiders have 70. So again, and I don't know, there's all these draft charts that I'm sure I'm way, way off, but I'm just saying, hypothetically, Mac Jones and 76 for the second round pick in 70, I would make that deal.
Yeah, I want it. I'm all for whatever Pat's purge can happen here, whether Pat's that's the purge. Quarterback or the coach. Both, that's a pipe dream. But if we can, for me, you know, you want me back, I want the Pat's purge. Both these guys gone. Start anew. Offensive-minded coach. New quarterback. I think we've seen what the ceiling is with Mac Jones. Yes, I think he deserves a second chance because of what he was given to having to deal with last year with those coaches. But I think he's mediocrity personified. And given what we just saw in terms of the quarterback play in the biggest game on the biggest stage just this past Sunday, I don't know. Do you think that guy could have done what those two dudes did in that game in Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes? I mean, I don't.
When I see Jalen Hurts, and obviously Jalen Hurts is more athletic and dynamic than Mac, what he can do with his legs. But I do think if you gave Mac those weapons, Yeah. I mean, I guess the answer to your question is yes. I think if you gave Mac that caliber of weaponry, I think he could do what Jalen Hurts did, minus the running and the – sure, I mean, and part of the running also for Jalen Hurts is just standing there and letting two guys push you for a first down. Could Mac Jones do that? Sure.
So, again, when asked if the Patriots would be willing to listen to trade offers for Mac Jones this offseason, Burt Breer said he thinks that they would. Interesting.
You know who else thinks they would? Because I saw this segment on Zolak and Bertrand. Zoe.
Yeah, right.
Zoe. This sort of started with Zoe. So now you have two people that are pretty tapped in saying they'll at least consider it.
And would they consider it because Aaron Rodgers is now going to be available? I feel like this whole thing has picked up steam here in the last 24 to 48 hours. Jason Cole used to work for CBS Sports, still does cover the NFL. We have some sound we'll play from him, who feels like all of a sudden, you know, he mentions the Patriots may be involved in trying to get Aaron Rodgers this offseason. And now, excuse me, there's further reporting on this, and that the Packers are, quote, disgusted with Aaron Rodgers and that they're done with him. What's happening here?
You're getting choked up at the thought of maybe getting Aaron Rodgers. Well,
you're getting
choked up because you know Aaron Rodgers has liked several social media posts of Kyrie Irving, and that's you're having an adverse reaction to that.
Oh, yeah. Well,
he's the Kyrie of the NFL.
I can't stand him. Jeez, what the hell's happening here? I can't stand him, but he'd be good for business around here. And he would immediately make you buzzworthy again and a real contender because, like, while I think he's just, you know, the absolute one of the worst, and he thinks he's, like, way smarter than he actually is, the guy can still play. So, and I think he's still one of the top five or six quarterbacks in the league. So, should the Patriots be interested in that? We'll touch on all this. I'll try to clear my throat. And we'll be back here with Gasper and Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Chris Gasper, Big Jim Murray.
That's an aberration, which I freely admit.
Gasper and Murray.
I'm drunk, you're gross, let's go.
Returns in a moment on The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sounds like fact, not opinion to me.
And this is Gasper and Murray.
If you're Aaron Rodgers and you're going deep into the darkness retreat, you're searching your soul for where do you want to play, and you have a choice of Jets, Patriots, what are you thinking?
Well, the Patriots are tied for fifth best odds.
We're no longer the Knights who say Jets.
You meant to say Raiders, right? Jets and Raiders, not Jets and Patriots. Are the Packers really going to trade Aaron Rodgers to the Patriots and jumpstart the dynasty again? Come on.
I think it's a long shot. But if Rodgers has final say and Belichick calls, now that's a weird marriage, okay? Mm-hmm. That's a really, really odd marriage of human beings, Belichick and Rodgers. But Belichick has a way of getting along with weird people when it suits his needs. And let's just say this. He's got some needs right now, some pretty serious needs, because Mac Jones isn't exactly getting it done.
All right, that's Jason Cole. Aaron Rodgers can maybe go to the Patriots if Bill Belichick makes that phone call. He's available. It feels like this thing is done with him in Green Bay, and there's further reporting on that we'll touch on in a second. And at the very least, like, even if this isn't real interest, and I don't know if it's real interest, there is part of me that believes maybe the Patriots sniffing around Aaron Rodgers and his availability stems primarily, Chris, from the fact that the Jets are interested. Maybe the Dolphins might be interested because they don't trust, you know, the longevity of Tua's career given all the concussions. And if Rodgers wasn't interested in another AFC East team, I don't think the Patriots get involved. You know what I'm saying? Like, it feels like this Jets thing is almost like a lock because they got Nathaniel Hackett, who has a relationship from their time in Green Bay. And this is just trying to maybe drum up interest to show that, look, we don't want to fall behind the Jets because the fear of falling behind the Jets is real, and that'd be unacceptable, at least to ownership. Yeah. I understand that. So, again, like, look at this. And, you know, now there's even talk maybe Lamar Jackson could maybe, you know, the Jets could be in on Lamar Jackson. So if the Jets got Rodgers or Jackson, Tua is healthy, or the Dolphins got Lamar Jackson or Aaron Rodgers, the Patriots are a last-place team in this division because it's still, I think, to me, the Bills division. and those other teams are getting better, especially if they get these other quarterbacks. You have to, even if they don't mean it, I think they need to maybe drum up some of the interest for Aaron Rodgers. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, I hear what you're saying. You know, I just, here's my thing on Aaron Rodgers. Still a fantastic player, but he's wishy-washy every year on whether he wants to play. There's nothing Bill hates more than someone who's not committed to football. And he's, you know, 38 years old, and they didn't want to persevere and push through with Brady. So Aaron Rodgers clearly would be an upgrade for 2023. But what about beyond that? You're basically back in the same situation a year from now.
Yeah. Well, two. How about two?
What do you mean two? He's in a darkness retreat right now trying to decide if he wants to play. And last year he flirted with retirement. Do you want to go through this every year with this? The irony of Aaron Rodgers is for years and years he railed against Favre, and he's become Favre.
Oh, he really
But he
has.
Might be Favre right down to going to the Jets.
Well, to your point, so this is the other thing that's popped up here since last night. Bob McGinn.
And this guy's the godfather of Green Bay Packer reporting.
Yeah, okay, so he's covered.
He's as legit as they get.
Covered the Packers for decades, reading here from Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, said in a podcast with Tyler Dunn of GoLongTD.com, the team is ready to move on from Rodgers. They're done with Rodgers, said McGinn, citing his own instincts, his knowledge of the league, and discussions with someone who has firsthand knowledge of the Packers. He's not coming back. I mean, they're disgusted with him, and they're done with him, and they're moving on. It's like he got quoted from partial Packers owner Mike Felger.
I know, seriously, right?
McGinn added that he's totally convinced Rodgers won't be back as the starter, boosting the belief that Rodgers will be gone. As McGinn explained it, the team fully believes in Jordan Love, and the Packers are ready to turn the page after trading up and making Love a first-round pick in 2020. And then there's this, I mean, because this would never happen, so this does feel like this is over. McGinn predicts that if Rodgers does insist on returning to Green Bay, he'd be the backup to Jordan Love. There's no way that would ever happen.
He'd never accept that in a million years. But I do think Green Bay has to find out what they have in Jordan Love, and I think it's probably time for them to move on from Aaron Rodgers. But I think Aaron Rodgers, the way he talks, the way he comports himself, makes it harder for Green Bay to execute that trade. Now, I think a desperate team like the Jets will maybe give you whatever you want, but I think teams look at it just the way I framed it for the Patriots. You know, if you're Josh McDaniels in Vegas, right, and you want to figure out what your quarterback situation is, Derek Carr obviously wasn't good enough. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is great. But now, a year from now, am I in the same situation I was before? Post Derek Carr, where I have to find another quarterback? Am I like the new Indianapolis Colts, where I'm just bouncing from aging starter to aging starter? So he doesn't really solve a lot of problems because he's so non-committal and so unpredictable in terms of the way he acts that it's not like Brady, where it's like, hey, you know, this guy wants to play, you know, until he's 45 or whatever. With Rodgers, you don't even know if he wants to play this year.
Well, I think, look, he's done there, and he's been unprofessional there for going on a few years. And while it's refreshing to hear this from the Packers' point of view that they're disgusted with him, I also, I don't know, reap what you sow. They were foolish for adjusting his contract this year. You know what I mean? Like, giving him that guarantee.
But that's what
money.
He wanted. I think they thought...
They should have just moved on from him last year.
Yeah, I guess that's a fair point. But also, in fairness to them, what do we criticize the Patriots for? Oh, when you have one of these guys, you don't let him go.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the thinking was in Green Bay. When you have one of those guys, you don't let him go. But I read some of that Bob McGinn stuff from the... And it's like they're saying he showed up like out of shape, that he wasn't like committed, putting the same time. So there are things there that I think are red flags. Again, nobody has rehabilitated players with red flags better than Bill Belichick. So do I think it could work here for a season? Yeah. In fact, you might even get a Super Bowl out of it. And where the Patriots are at, that would be great. It's hard to sort of turn your nose up at that, but I just think you'd be back in the same situation like a year from now or 2 years from now. Who's our long-term starting quarterback?
Yeah, but I do think that they need it. Like, you know, they need buzz. They desperately need buzz. They're getting pulled off primetime games. And Bill and the franchise here has been on this downward trajectory. And, you know, it feels like a rudderless ship, 3 years running post-Brady. Boom. This injects life into the franchise. You're relevant again. You're probably back in the dance. Or at least you're making the Final Four. And, you know, this also expedites Bill passing
Don Shula,
which I think would be enticing to Bill, too.
Well, let me ask you this, though. Okay, so Rodgers comes here. You know what his cap hit is. It's astronomical. You bring him in. How are you going to upgrade the team around him? Let's say just you bring back Jacoby Myers. You know how much Rodgers bitched and moaned about the guys he had to throw to last year? And that's with Christian Watson eventually developing into a pretty good receiver after Rodgers froze him out after he dropped that ball against Minnesota.
What did he finish with, like 7 touchdowns?
Yeah, he actually had a pretty good year. It's amazing. The Packers are somehow good at drafting receivers.
Yeah,
so imagine that. But But what do you think he would do here throwing to these receivers? Do you think he'd be happy doing that?
No, it's a great point. But I just think, like, so again, on the Packers side of things, they needed to gauge Aaron Rodgers' misery index, for lack of a better term here, these last couple of years, and just realize, like, this money's not going to fix this. Like, he hates being here. You're should move on. I just think that for a year or two, it'll be like the Favre thing all over again. He's re-energized. He wants to stick it to the Packers. Okay. He wants to prove the haters wrong. All of that. Like, you'll get good Aaron Rodgers. You'll get engaged Aaron Rodgers for a season or two. Then after that, who's to say? But for a little while, I think he'd be, you know, yes, sir, no, sir, whatever you need, Bill.
I don't know. I think this is like, again, he's like the Kyrie Irving of football. It sounds good on paper.
He and is
I was
the mercurial one.
I was all for Kyrie coming to Celtics. Kyrie, from a pure basketball standpoint, to watch, is still one of my favorite players in the league. But boy, that thing just blew up in everyone's face. And I just, I don't know, man. I'm gun shy when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. I'd rather get Lamar Jackson at this point. I think there's more runway there, his career. And honestly, I'd rather have Garoppolo, because I think he would be yes, sir, no, sir. I think Garoppolo would be grateful to be here, grateful to be back in Foxborough, grateful to be back with Belichick. He has no bigger backer in the league. And I feel like you sign him, you don't have to give up anything other than money. And if you move on from, like, are you a better team if you have Mac Jones and you try and use some draft picks and some, let's say, are you a better team with Mac Jones and I give up a 1 and a 3 to get Brandon Ayuk or T. Higgins, neither one of whom I think is really ultimately going to be available? Or are you a better team if you bring in Jimmy Garoppolo, trade Mac Jones for some draft capital, then make the trade I just mentioned for a receiver, but still have like draft capital left to spend on the rest of the roster? I think you're better with the latter.
So do any of these scenarios sound enticing to you? Would you want Aaron Rodgers on the Patriots next year? 617-779-0985. And then this darkness retreat too. What the hell that is. I mean, imagine being alone and with your own thoughts for 4 straight days.
It kind of sounds like, I feel like, something you would do.
Oh, God, no.
No, you wouldn't do it?
Sitting there with your own thoughts after 5 minutes. I'm like, I need noise. Like, my wife could tell you. I'm home for 5 minutes. I need noise, like a fan on, podcast on. I hate silence makes me crazy.
But at least, but there's no people to bother you, which would be right up your
alley.
That's
true. That does sound like that's bliss. Yeah, no one around. Then again, my own thought, like, can I have noise? It's a darkness retreat. Can I bring my phone?
What is it? I don't understand this. What is a darkness retreat? Like, I've heard some people, heard some people define this as voluntarily going into self-imposed solitary confinement, which sounds awful. But on the other hand, if it's just like, hey, like,
yeah, total isolation experience, often in secluded locations where you're in complete darkness for a select number of hours or days. Ugh. Yeah, so it's like being put in the hole in prison.
Is that what it's like? But okay, but let me ask you this. Could you go there? And I have my phone, I'm listening to podcasts.
No, I don't think so.
You can't do that?
Yeah. Meditation retreat in complete darkness. It's a Himalayan tradition. It's a restricted practice only to be engaged by the senior spiritual practitioner under appropriate spiritual guidance. Oh, yeah, no, this is a whole thing. You can't bring your phone, headphones,
really,
anything like that. No. Oh, God, no, I wouldn't want that at all.
It's like one of those,
your Nintendo Switch, like, none of that comes
with
it.
Is this like one of those hot, what's the thing you do? You go in, like, the hot 10 or whatever, and you're supposed to, like, see your future. Is this kind of like that?
Oh, well, no, he already did that with the ayahuasca, where, you're taken to the depths of hell. He's a freak.
He's weird. Weird dude, man. Weird dude.
Well, would you want him, though? Would you want that freak quarterback? Because he's still good. 617-779-0985. Your call's next.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Chris Gasper.
I'm not the one who's red-faced and ranting, so who's the baby?
This is Big Jim Murray.
Takes in your face, sports.
And this is Gasper and Murray on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Just real quick before we get to the calls, I wanted to get your thoughts on this, Chris, because it's what I opened Agenda Free Friday with yesterday with Mike and Tony, and that's, well, now it's official. Eric Bieniemy is taking the offensive coordinator job of the Washington Commanders. He also has like a co-head coach title to this too. It's a multi-year deal. I saw Josina Anderson report yesterday. It's the first time he's actually got a multi-year contract as a coordinator, so he must have been working year to year with Kansas City, which I find crazy.
Yeah.
But I said, like, this was to do this, to go from Kansas City, you know, two-time Super Bowl champion here in the last 4 years, best quarterback in the league, to take the offensive coordinator job, to go from offensive coordinator there to offensive coordinator of Washington. That's like a regular-ass dude that's a high-ranking executive at Apple saying, I'm going to take the same job at, like, Kohl's, you know, like, what are you doing? Like, you don't go from
Kohl's.
You don't go from a world-class operation to a dump unless you just think you're never going to have upward mobility. And that's what it feels like with this guy. And it's just now, like, years now with Eric Bieniemy. I just don't get it. And, you know, some of the stories you read from this just this past Super Bowl, his fingerprints are all over this. This isn't just Andy Reid. No, he's the head play caller. He's the mastermind behind all of this. And to an extent, but Eric Bieniemy was the one, you read from The Athletic, he was the one that found those fake jet sweep plays that they used in the red zone for those couple of touchdowns.
Yeah, and, stop return.
Yeah, and that he found tape of the Jacksonville Jaguars, who, of course, have some tentacles from Andy Reid there with Doug Peterson. But there's a game they played this year, the Jags, in the red zone against the Eagles, doing those plays. They didn't know how to stop them. It was Bieniemy that found them and said, we're going to do that. They don't know how to stop them. And they didn't. So that's Bieniemy. And so he's just not this innocent bystander there just holding a play sheet, just like standing and like doing nothing. So I feel like he took this job because he feels like it's the only chance he's really going to get to be a head coach, because Ron Rivera goes into next season on the hot seat. That place is run by a complete tyrant in Dan Snyder. So if they start 0-4, 1-3, whatever, Rivera's out and Benny Bieniemy maybe gets bumped to head coach. This is the only way he can get a head coaching job. I find that crazy.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy. You know, there is some stuff in his background from his days at Colorado and coaching in college football that's not the greatest. And I don't know if that's stopping teams, but I mean, look, I could find some other coaches, and boy, some of these coaches I've seen. You know, we've talked about Sean Payton breaking into the pill cabinet. Like, that hasn't stopped him from getting another job.
Matt Patricia.
Yeah, so there's you know, that's a great point, too, that situation that came up with Patricia. So I think that when you look at it, I think the biggest part of it, again, these teams, I don't care really what's in your past. If they think you can help them win, they'll find a way to overlook it. So I have a hard time believing it's sort of past transgressions. I think they just think that he is not head coach material for whatever reason. I can state the most obvious of them, which would be his race. And then also, I think there's the element that a lot of the Patriots assistants have had to deal with, which is you're on the side of the ball that you're very good Hall of Fame head coach is famous for. So everybody assumes everything that happens on that side of the ball was the purview of that head coach and not you. And we've seen it happen to Brian Flores, and he was able to get a job, obviously, but Matt Patricia, we've seen that with guys. It's challenging for these guys to prove what their impact is actually on a team. So I would ideally like to see Eric Bieniemy get an opportunity that's not the Washington Commanders. I think this is a bad move. It seems like a desperation move for him. If I were him, I would have held out for maybe another team to join as offensive coordinator, a more stable situation where I can basically be, you know, Kyle Shanahan, who was head coach offense for Dan Quinn, and then you end up getting a head coaching job. But he obviously felt like he had to, you know, again, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. He's been doing the same thing over and over in Kansas City, and the result has been he doesn't get hired as a head coach.
Yeah, you know, like, look at it too, just in their roster, like, what's enticing there? They got a fun young wide receiver core led by Terry McLaurin, who I think is a stud. Dotson's a nice player. Like, there's some pieces there, but, like, again, who's your quarterback? Is it going to be Taylor Heineke? They're probably going to cut Carson Wentz because he sucks. You're going to draft someone like, and again, it's Washington. It's run by a tyrant. It's,
I mean, he's
the
supposed to be selling
the
team. I don't know where that's at. It seems like it's not very far along, but maybe that was part of it for Bieniemy. He feels like the team's going to be sold. I would not want to work for this guy. I'm just being honest. There's no way, you know, just based on the things that I've read. First of all, you can make a moral case for why you wouldn't want to work for him. But putting that aside, he doesn't seem like a very good boss. I mean, he's very, very impetuous. And that's not the type of boss you want.
Dave in Providence, you're first up here on Gaspar Murray this morning on Aaron Rodgers. Hey, Dave.
Hey, what's up, boys? So I just wanted to give you guys a little bit of clarity on this whole doctor's retreat, only because you know, I did a little research on it, and being a little experienced with the psychedelics myself, I think I can just give a little bit of input. So, wasn't sure if you guys were familiar with the whole DMT. Any idea what that is?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I know what it is. I don't
okay.
Have
no okay. So, those who don't, it's, you know, the spirit molecule. It's the biggest form of psychedelics you can do.
Yep.
So, essentially, when Aaron Rodgers went into the ayahuasca retreat, that's a form of DMT, except, you know, you drink it orally. You know, normally you would just smoke DMT, go through the whole process. The whole thing with the darkness retreat is your body is naturally forming it at a higher level than, you know, what you normally have. So being in the retreat, he'll do some, you know, fasting, eating a little bit of food. But then at the same time, his body, you know, is converting tryptophan into serotonin, into melatonin. And then towards, like, day three or four, it actually starts peaking your DMT within the pineal gland, and at that point he's starting to go through that whole psychedelic phase of, you know, whatever he did during ayahuasca. So
he'll trip.
I think that
he'll trip for 4 days.
I think your body takes about 2 or 3 days to build.
Wow. Like, hold on, that sounds like a hell. Like, whatever works for you, fine. You need to find yourself. It certainly feels like he needs to. You know, he's alienating
his
family.
This is how he's making his decisions.
Yeah, right. I don't know. Like, I say to some of my nuts friends, like, go talk to someone. Like, you know. Hey, whatever works. For
yeah,
you,
I mean, to each his own. But I mean, again,
anybody else,
I just think, look, I nobody is bigger about football players being able to express their individuality than me. And I feel like sometimes football is a little rigid. You know, everybody has to conform.
Sure.
But given what football is and what the requirements are and having to sacrifice, there is some element of sacrificing yourself for the betterment of the team. Does this sound like a man who's ready or capable of doing that?
Certainly doesn't.
I would say no.
Jonathan and Randolph, you're next here on Casper Murray this morning. Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, guys. First thing is, it was a bit sad to hear that Jim Murray with the USS flag had to slum it in Comfort Plus. that was I know you're not used to that, but I want to pivot my main point because I wasn't aware that Rodgers to the Patriots was even just some fever dream. And it's just like, I would be so mad about that because it's like, and I don't want to sound like a crazy broken record about, you know, Brady, and obviously, you know, he's dealing with stuff. But if they're going to bring in an aging quarterback who's past his prime and you have to accommodate him, I don't understand why you would do whatever, pay the draft capital and the real money capital to get that guy when, I mean, I don't know, obviously Brady was repulsed, I guess, to come back here, but just do whatever you have to do to make it worth his while, whether that's, you know, giving him an eternal lease with TB12 at Patriot Place, build the building 3 times as large, whatever it takes, just get him here rather than Aaron freaking Rodgers, who might not play for more than a year and might just be a miserable, terrible experience anyway. It's just, I don't want it because I don't really like the guy, and also it's just the same problem so many people had with Brady when he was here in 2019. It's like, no, it's time to start with the future. Well, Aaron Rodgers isn't a future, and I know they need a jolt to jumpstart, whatever you want to phrase it, but not that guy, please. For the love of God, I don't want to deal with that.
Thanks, Jonathan. I get your point. From a PR standpoint, that would be bad optics for the Pats to say, you know, years later, like, hey, we were ready to move on from Brady because he was too old, and then you go out and get a 38-year-old Aaron Rodgers.
You could say you learned your lesson. I mean, I'm not in favor of it. You know, again, I'll go back to Jimmy Garoppolo, and I know it's weird me stumping for Jimmy Garoppolo. I get it, but I'm just saying, I think it would be great. I think it would energize the fan base. He has, you know, he has the movie star looks, or maybe the porn star looks, considering who he likes to date. And also, he's somebody that Bill really believes, and I think Bill would be energized by it. And I always bring up the story. I'll bring it up again. 1 year at the Super Bowl, I asked Jimmy about playing on the scout team. I think this was before the Atlanta Super Bowl. And I said, hey, who's your favorite quarterback to emulate? And he said, Aaron Rodgers. I feel like there's a lot of similarities there. So you want Aaron Rodgers? I'll give you off-brand Aaron Rodgers and Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, I mean, I could talk myself into it, even though I'm not the biggest fan of him. And at this point, like, I think he's good enough. I actually think, look, the guy's won playoff games. Mac Jones hasn't done that. He's been to a Super Bowl. It's his fragility, like his physical fragility, I think is the biggest red flag on him. The guy can't, like, make it through a season without getting hurt.
No, it's true. But I would think, again, that plays into you wanting Bailey Zappi to play.
Yeah.
And maybe the Patriots, Bill, you know, they know that. Maybe they have some sort of, you know, there's some sort of training program. Or there. I think there are also things with Jimmy that they could say to him. I'm trying to remember, what was his injury this year? The one that knocked him out?
Ankle.
Oh, the ankle. Oh, but and Felger was convinced he could come back for the playoff game for the ankle. But I feel like some of his injuries are the result. It's like, dude, just get rid of the ball. Dude, just get out of bounds. Like, you got to know when the ride is over. I still think that's an issue with Jimmy, and I think that's something maybe you could coach out of him a little bit.
Long commercial-free segment coming up next. We'll segue into the Sports Hub Celtics show at noon. And also, when we come back here to the Super Bowl, prove that Bill might be washed, and you need an offensive coordinator type and an offensive mind, a young offensive mind, to get back to the big game. We'll touch on that along with your phone calls next.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Chris Gasper. Big Jim Murray. Give me
that which I desire.
It's Gasper and Murray
on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Can we all just admit Andy Reid's the greatest play designer of all time?
Yes.
Okay. He's the best coach in my life off a bye. That's not disputable. He's the best quarterback elevator of my life, making average guys. I mean, literally, Donovan McNabb came into a Super Bowl, didn't come in shape, and threw up during the game. I love that Belichick often coached out of fear, and I think Andy Reid coaches more out of joy and fun. Those red zone plays will go down as some of the greatest offensive calls in big spots. The Philly special was always one of the all-time greats. That was a protege of Andy Reid. He worked Belichick. I think it's pretty obvious Doug Peterson and Andy Reid talked probably during the week. Now they're going to, nobody wants to put it out there because nobody wants to take sides, but it is those two red zone calls. They clearly found the Eagle DBs cheating and they brought them out at the perfect time.
Colin Cowherd on the difference of mentality between Andy Reid and Bill Belichick. Just quickly, you know, I know a lot of people around here, you're rooting against the Chiefs, hate the talk of them being the new dynasty. Look, I get it. And you're mad about the hold. I think the hold, I mean, now that we've seen different angles of it, too, you see the jersey being pulled from Juju Smith-Schuster and James Bradbury pulling on that jersey. Like, I get it. They weren't making those calls earlier. But once you see that, like, what are you supposed to do? The reason the Eagles lost this game, it's something you talked about enough, is their defense. And that Jonathan Gannon, their defensive coordinator, ended up getting a job after that performance. 24 points, 15 first downs, 119 rushing yards allowed in the second half. That defense was gutted. Cost Philly the Super Bowl. That's the reason the Eagles lost. And that guy gets a job? Hey, you got to be kidding me. As a head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, that's why they lost. But on the differences in mentality between Reid, Belichick, did the Super Bowl prove, and because the game has become so quarterback-driven and so offensive-minded, is Bill washed?
No, I don't think he's washed, but I would say it proves that he's sort of playing catch-up. I don't think the game's passed him by, but really you had the two, I think, most prevalent blueprints right now for winning in the NFL on display, you know, or at least getting to the Super Bowl. One, have a transcendent generational talent at quarterback. Bill's played that card. He played it brilliantly and won six Super Bowls. The other way is what Philly did with Hurts. Have a great roster around him on both sides of the ball and give him a ton of weapons offensively, which is what Philly did. The problem for the Patriots is that Bill somehow has convinced himself that his system, capital T, capital S, which really relied on the former, the generational quarterback, can work with the latter, which is the Jalen Hurts, Mac Jones. Oh, I can just plug this quarterback in and he'll just elevate the guy. No, 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 no. Only generational guys can do that. And I think that's the issue. So do I think he's totally washed? Like, I think Cowherd went over, but like, we're giving Andy Reid credit for the Philly special. Like, get out of here. Come on. You're like over the top. And I thought you guys were over the top yesterday. on Felgren Maz with basically being like, yeah, I'll take Zach Taylor over Bill Belichick or any coach from a McVay, Shanahan system, Andy Reid system, I'll take over Bell. I mean, that's ridiculous. If you gave Bill one of these elite quarterbacks, he's going to be winning. He's going to be winning. It's just that what we've learned the last 3 years is that, you know, applying his system to non-elite quarterbacks doesn't work. And I think this whole like thing they told Ian O'Connor, we can win with any of the top 15 quarterbacks. And the owner thinks Tom Brady's special, but coaches, you look like morons. They look like morons for that. That's idiotic. And it's just patently false. And I don't care how much football you know or don't know. They've been proven to be completely wrong about that.
Is the system itself, though, a little bit antiquated, given how all the offenses run now and you're dealing with these like fake jet sweeps and things like that? Like how much change do you think that Bill O'Brien is going to bring to the offense, or is it going to be more of the same and they just hope for the best with Mac Jones?
Well, the offense was antiquated because you had two guys that didn't know offense running it. I mean, did you feel like the offense was antiquated? Look, it wasn't as good, obviously, but did you feel like schematically it was antiquated when Josh McDaniels was running it that year with Mac Jones? They certainly protected Mac Jones some, no question about it, but I didn't feel like it was schematically antiquated. And to answer your question, I think Bill O'Brien, having been at Alabama, will bring a lot of the college concepts that the best offenses in the NFL use now. That stuff trickles up, high school, college, NFL. It's not going the other way. It's not NFL down to high school. It's high school up to the NFL through college football. He's experienced now in that offense with Alabama. I think he'll bring those concepts. And by the way, I know for a fact that they told Mac Jones they were going to try and incorporate some of that stuff this year, and they tried. With the RPOs, it's just they didn't know what the hell they were doing. They couldn't execute it. Every RPO they ran looked like a tunnel screen.
All right, let's wrap up with some of your calls here in this first hour before we segue to the Sports Hub Celtics show and the interim tag being taken off Joe Mazzulla. We'll be touching on that. Let's go to Derek and Saugus with something else we saw in the Super Bowl this past Sunday. Go ahead, Derek.
Hey, boys. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show, Jim. Real quick, Kathy yesterday, that phone call, let's get past calling Big Jim. Like, click. Like, oh, that was just so antiquated. Anyway, I just wanted to talk about, you were talking earlier in the week about the rugby play at QB sneak maybe being ruled out. I don't like really, I just think it's getting too much clout. Like, and if it gets too much clout, then they're gonna massage that into the rules. So it seems like you were kind of on board with it. I don't know.
Yeah. And Derek, thank you for the call. I think it's good. That went overboard. The Eagles are okay with running it on third and eight so that they get to fourth and two, fourth and one, because they're going to pick it up with that rugby play, which I think is too strong an advantage to them. During the season, when people, you know, Mike was against it pretty quickly, okay. I was like, it's not that bad. Now I just think it's almost impossible to stop, and a lot of that has to do with their offensive line, which is great. Like, and Kelsey's brother's good and all that, but I don't know. Like, the way that thing looks, you ever see the videos of when it's a rush hour in Tokyo and they're stuffing people into the trains?
Yeah, in the subway. Yeah.
Like that, like, you can't stop that. It's like you can't stop the ocean, you know, that kind of power. It's gone too far the other way. It's way too advantageous for the Eagles. I think that they should ban that play.
I think they should ban it, too. It's not an artful play. And you know what really did it for me? I was against it to begin with. But Chris Jones, who's one of the more dominant linemen, again, in contemporary football, he dove over the top, hit Hurts, and could have made the play, except for, like, this. He ended up basically, like, crowd surfing. Yeah. Like, this massive humanity just takes this 300-pound guy, like, back because they're pushing. I mean, I hate that play. And I also think you can't be serious about player safety. It looks dangerous.
Well, this is the other thing, not to be overdramatic, but it's all a matter of time. Whether it's Hurts or another team that starts to do this, one of the offensive linemen crashes into their knee, blows it out, and they're done for the year.
Or even worse, did you see how low and head first those linemen were leading with?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a matter of time before one of them, like Ryan Shazier's himself.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, and your neck is snapped, and then you're down. We have another one of these situations.
Yeah.
Did you like the game overall?
Yeah, I thought it was an entertaining game.
The hold bug you?
Did what?
The hold? That, like, how?
No, I was going to say quickly on the hold. Unfortunate timing, but the reality is, you know why I think they called it? First of all, he did grab the jersey. But the thing people miss is he held twice. And I think that's why they threw the flag. He grabs the jersey initially, and then he kind of, like, wraps him.
Yeah.
You know, as he's running down, like, he wraps his waist and kind of wraps his, very quickly, but he, like, wraps his waist just ever so slightly. So I think they might have let the first one go on the jersey grab, but the second time, when you're wrapping the guy and turning him a little at the waist, I'm sorry. You did it twice. Like, they can't let it go.
That stadium has had three special games there. You know, the Patriots Seahawks number one. Yeah. And then, unfortunately, the loss in 07 to the Giants.
Yeah.
And then this one. That game was great.
It was a really good
that
game.
That game was very competitive.
But
and
did
I know
you
a lot of people
feel, I don't know if you felt the way I felt watching it. I felt during that game, I was like, Philly's the better team. They have more talent. But Kansas City's going to win because they have Mahomes, which is the way I used to feel with Brady.
Yeah. Oh, without question. And that's why I thought, you know, look, if they went down and scored to make it 21-7, which it felt like it was going to before Nick Bolton did the scoop and score, like that completely changed that game. The Eagles needed to play a completely clean,
yes,
mistake-free game because it was all a matter of time before the Mahomes tsunami was going to hit them in the second half. And that's when that game got tied, I was like, oh, the Chiefs are going to end up winning this thing. Because it felt like the Eagles were really in control of that.
They were. I mean, I thought they were the better team, had a great offensive game plan. They were Hurts, I thought, played great.
Awesome. Awesome game, except for that one mistake. Don and Carver, hello.
Hey, first of all, Jimmy Garoppolo has almost threw me off my game here. I called up with tongue-in-cheek admiration nicknames for the two of you. Gasper, you are now the Wordsmith. And
Jim Murray.
Mike, you are the creative poopah. Okay?
All right. And my name's not Mike, it's Jim.
I like Mike. I think I'm just going to start. Big Mike. I mean, rap, you know, Big Mike.
Well, with that.
Big Mike Murray.
Let's get to the headlines here, and then we'll get to the Sports Hub Celtics show here on 98.5.
Hit me with those headlines, Big Mike Murray.
Thanks, Mike.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.